My name is Susanna Rule, and my husband is the educational pastor here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And so we were in a little bit of transition, and so when they were talking about this session, my husband, I think, volunteered me, which is one of the blessings of being married to a good guy that's helping organize things. I'm kind of teasing. I worked with nurseries for 10 years prior to coming here. And our church has been blessed to have Julie Hanna, who has overseen our nurseries for 25 years. And she's just done a fantastic job. But now she's kind of entered a new life stage, and she's still wanting to serve the Lord, but she's wanting to venture out in different areas. And you can imagine a church this size that nursery is a consuming job. And so she retired a few months ago, and the Lord let us go a couple months without a nursery director, and that makes the church really appreciate what you have. And in looking and praying, God just brought forth Mrs. Allen, and she has been a godsend. And I want to tell you that there's so many wonderful traits about her, but here's my favorite. That her first official Sunday on the job, a problem came up, and it was one of those, like, inside you're going, really? That lady knew? Come on. You know, that's what you're thinking, although we never admit it except for right now. And she's like, I went to tell her, I'm like, well, how do you want us to handle this? And I told her the problem. And she just laughed out loud and went, well, I guess we'll deal with that this week. You know, like, we're going to just roll with it as it comes. And I thought, okay, she's going to do just fine with nursery. She's got the Holy Spirit and a happy, joyful spirit. And so she was hired as our nursery director. And then, Sarah, will you wave at everybody? This is Sarah Thomas, and she deals with our nursery scheduling. And, of course, a church this size, that's a pretty big job as well. So we're very blessed to have them. And then Mrs. Fisher, will you wave to us? She oversees our preschool that we've just started. It's just been one semester in the going, or is it a full year? One semester in the going. She's done a fantastic job with that. So we have some experts in the room with us. We're surrounded, and all of you have your experience. We should add up all of our experience and share our stories. I'm sure we would walk away with a wealth of knowledge. But let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll jump right into the material. Lord, I love you, and I'm grateful for these ladies. And, Father, you've brought us all together from across this nation to share our ideas and thoughts in ministry, and I pray that you'd help each of us to go home with some nugget that will help us. Help us not to feel overwhelmed. Help us to feel encouraged. And I pray that you'd guide us and help us to have more wisdom in the area of providing care for these little ones that you love so much. In your name we pray. Amen. I have to start by saying thank you to all of you who have worked in nursery or have overseen nursery. You're amazing. And I'm a mom of four, and I can't tell you the times I've just wanted to hug a nursery worker for being such a godsend at just the right moment. And it doesn't even matter the exact circumstance, whether it's a child that got sick that I didn't know was gonna, or just some crisis she's taken care of. I remember when my second child was 2 years old, I got paged out of church, and I thought, oh no, what's going on? And I came to the nursery counter, and she was out on the playground, and they have a little toddler playground with a little bit of gravel, and she had taken gravel and had put it up her nose, and they could not get it out. And I was mortified. I'm a young mom, and I'm thinking, I'm so sorry, it's my child that did this. And we finally got the problem solved. Next Sunday, I get paged out of church again. I'm thinking, what could it possibly be? And you called it. It was the same thing. She did the same thing 2 Sundays in a row. And I thought, well, maybe these workers aren't watching my child. This kind of thing has never happened before. And you're not saying it, but you're thinking it. Anyhow, that week at home, she took string cheese and she stuck it up her nose. And I thought, I cannot even believe the things that these workers have to deal with. And it was a godly, we were panicking trying to get a rock out. And this usher walked by who has 8 children and was like, just have her blow her nose. And we're like, oh, problem solved. So I'm sure that's one gross story. You guys have probably 20 times that. But thank you for the things you deal with day in and day out. You're the unsung heroes. And the truth of the matter is, God talks so much about servants and so much about loving little ones that you get a combination of both. You are the exact example, or what we're talking about when we talk about servant leadership. That's what you are. And then to have you be with the little ones of the church, that's the generation ahead of us. It's a precious gift. So thank you for what you do. As we jump into the notes, I just want to start by saying these are just suggestions. I caught myself over and over again saying, we would suggest, or you might consider, and I just said it so many times that I finally just took it all out and said, here's our ideas, and if you don't want to do them, that's totally okay. Follow the laws and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but here's a list of ideas. And so the first section we're going to talk about is safety. We'll do safety first, because that's what we've been taught. Safety first. Number one in your outline, create and maintain a safe environment. And that sounds kind of obvious, but if you're at it for a while, you may create a safe environment, but your environment changes every single time people enter the room because things get left or things get dropped, and we just want to maintain it frequently. Check it. Well, how do we do that? We get down on the floor. We examine the room from their level. Are there electrical outlets? Are there sharp objects? Are there loose objects? Is there furniture that has jagged points at their level, or furniture that looks like a ladder, or things of that nature that can be corrected? Even a rocking chair can be a terrible weapon for little fingers if it's in the wrong nursery, the wrong type of rocking chair at the wrong age for nursery, even no matter how hard you try to watch the children. It's kind of a dangerous thing. Even garbage cans. You never know what somebody's going to throw, and so if a child can reach into the garbage can, that's a danger. Someone here came up with a brilliant idea of elevating our garbage cans, and so they've got lids that flap, but then they're up on the wall, and it's a little thing, but it makes life so much easier for nursery workers. Number three, offer CPR and first aid training for nursery caregivers and leaders. Your church may not have it in the budget to pay for it. I think it costs for us about $20 a person. When I oversaw nursery, we did it through our hospital. I think sometimes fire stations will offer it as well. Lancaster Baptist Church uses the University of Antelope Valley. So there's lots of different options. And sometimes you can get someone to come in and speak on the topic for a flat fee. And if you can pack it out, you really get your money's worth. Other times they charge you per person that comes. But it's something that every 2 years, your certification wears out, so you kind of is up, so you need to recertify. That's something to keep on your rotation list of things to oversee. Number four, make it known that your nursery is a peanut-free zone or a nut-free zone to provide. And also, this is a brilliant idea Mrs. Allen came up with. For years, we would put either safety pin little tags or bright stickers on their back if they were a child with a lot of allergies. You know that scary feeling when a diabetic child picks something up and you can't tell what they've eaten and not eaten or whatever. But just to put a wristband, these are so inexpensive, you can order them online and they can't take them off. And what I love about it is it's in front of you. So every time they go to eat, you're seeing, oh no, they can't, or they have their own snack or whatever. So this is just a simple problem solver that has helped our nursery tremendously. Number five, have well thought out evacuation plans and train your leaders how to handle various emergencies. Years ago, someone pulled a fire alarm, and we had trained our nursery workers, but you know, you have a trichulation. And so when someone pulled that fire alarm, it just happened to be on the Sunday of a lady that was overseeing the baby nursery's first Sunday. I thought of all, that wasn't here, but it was somewhere else. And I thought, I was coming down from choir when it happened, and I thought, she doesn't know what to do, and this is my fault. I should have trained her. She should know. So I had an evacuation plan, but I hadn't taught her exactly how to handle it. And thank goodness it was just a fluke thing. But you want to make sure when there's babies involved, you don't have enough nursery workers to hold all those babies, even if you've got it exactly right with your ratios. And so one of the things that they've done here is there's cribs that have wheels on them. So you can use them as a cart in the case of a really big emergency, just lots of babies all squished together and out you go. So there's a solution to every problem if you just think through it. Obviously, you need to know where you're going and how to maneuver and get out. Another thing that I would see as a problem in a real emergency is parents come rushing to take their children, and then you give them to them and get outside and can't remember who has what. So you have to have a plan. Okay, if that happens, I'm going to ask the parents to walk with us till we can take roll, and then they can take their children, but we have to stay together. Just a plan, evacuation plan, and make sure your workers know what your plan would be. Regularly, this is six, regularly clean toys with non-toxic disinfectants. And this is tricky to do. I get it, we wipe things down all the time. But especially the chew toys, those need to be washed in water, hot water. If you can get a dishwasher, I know that's so spoiling, but if you can get a dishwasher on campus or just take them home to a dishwasher, that's the best way to clean those little toys. I've always been finicky about cloth. If you can throw it in the washer, great. But if it's something that's not machine washable, lice or all kinds of bacteria and germs can grow. And so you want to be careful about having cloth things. Even cloth cribs that are like a playpen that they stand up and chew on the side. Well, the next baby can do that. And obviously that's sharing a lot of germs and there's no way to fix that. Number seven, set up a carpet cleaning schedule. And this is tough when you're on a budget. It might just be easier to try to save the money or see if it's in the budget to just buy your own steamer. I know we recently got one because things happen while you're in nursery and you can't schedule to have someone come in fast enough sometimes. But even just getting them professionally cleaned, because that's where they're crawling. That's where we walk and where they crawl. You might even consider making it a shoeless zone, a shoe-free zone, your nurseries, no shoes in your nurseries. Just the reality of our shoes go in public bathrooms and then they go on our nursery floors and our poor kids are they fall asleep while they're playing sometimes on that floor. And so if you can provide socks, how great is that? The workers come in, they put their shoes in a shelf and put on socks. And then, of course, that ups your laundry. But I have found over the years, and we have found too, that if you can get a volunteer to do your laundry, a lot of times we don't think to include people that maybe there's an elderly lady that doesn't want to work in nursery anymore, but she would be more than happy to take a load of home of laundry and just wash it and bring it back. That would be a blessing to her to get to serve in that way. So think about enlisting a volunteer to weekly wash your laundry, whether it's blankets or burp cloths or whatever. And then on a side note, this is just an idea, but have you ever stood there as a worker and you can't remember if this blanket belongs to somebody or the nursery? It does help, even if it's the simplest fabric. You could either order the blankets or you could order the fabric, but it's nice if your nursery has a blanket. Like, this is our nursery blanket. So anytime there's a blanket that's not your nursery blanket, you're like, whose is this? Not, is this nursery? Is this whose? Because that's one thing that gets disheveled and it's hard to tag and label blankets, although you can safety pin them with a name to it. That's an option, but it's nice when you just know what your nursery blankets look like. Let's see here. Enlist, we got that. Take all security precautions. Number 9, take all security precautions. And you might just consider having a trusted man either in the lobby or at the back of the auditorium or maybe someone on security if your church offers that, where you just know in a pinch you can text or call him and he will come running. If your nursery is maybe a little isolated, we have our north building that's a little away from, you know, the main building. Sometimes it can feel like if there's not men, which we have men, we're very good that way, but there's other buildings. If you're off, if you have your campus is spread out in any way and you're not in the same building as the main auditorium, you can feel a little bit like you could be the target if something went wrong on the campus. And you want to make sure that you could get help. You can call 911, but that would take a while. You want someone that could be there right away to help protect. So that's A. And B, if you're able to, installing cameras in your nursery is a great idea. It's just such a great idea. It's not to watch the workers. It's to protect the nursery workers. Just this last week, a young Christian couple, they literally have just been saved probably a week or two. My husband and I took it. They came to church Sunday and got saved. We took them out Monday and spent some time with them. And Tuesday night, really late, I heard my husband on the phone with them, and it just makes me laugh. But first it was the dad, and then the mom called back a few minutes later. And basically, they found a bump on their daughter's head, and they wanted to know why the nursery workers didn't tell them about it. But they found the bump Tuesday night, and they wanted to know why nobody had told them about the thing that happened on Sunday morning. And I just was so tickled. Like, our kids do so many things that they didn't realize it probably happened on Tuesday with them, not on Sunday morning. But immediately they're like, oh, something happened in the nursery. I don't know who didn't watch my baby right. And they were really worked up about it. And you think about that, just that's a little illustration. But if something big ever really did happen, it's nice to just have the protection of a camera. Amen. We didn't do anything wrong, we promise. Another fun story that just is so humorous to me, it's almost unbelievable. When I was that was about 10 years ago. I had a little baby, our first child, and we were juggling a bunch of stuff. The next day was camp. It's Sunday morning. I'm driving from one part of our campus to the other, from teen Sunday school to nursery, and then I was supposed to go to choir and sing. So I had all these things in my mind. So I don't even remember if I locked my car. I know I gave some teen girls a ride over. To this day, I don't know how it happened, but by Sunday night, I ran to Walmart for camp, and my purse had been gone. And I didn't even know when, at what point it was missing out of my car. And so my husband called right away the credit card, and it was like $6,000 or $7,000 already charged on my credit card. It was unbelievable. So we called and did the whole police report. And, I mean, it was such a busy time, but I had to be on it. And the police officer brings out all this video footage. I saw her at all these stores. And I'm looking at this girl using my ID and my credit card. We look nothing alike. But what was interesting is I knew what she looked like, but I had no way of saying who she was, and the officer didn't either, so we couldn't do anything about it. So years pass, years, and I'm standing at the counter on Big Day Sunday, and in walks this lady, and she's given such a hard time to our counter worker about, I want to inspect your nurseries, you have to let me back there. And I said, and so I came in trying to help and said, you know, we just don't let every parent come back. Once children are here, it's only approved workers. And then all of a sudden, I look at her, and I'm like, I know who you are. I cannot believe I know who you are, and you have the same tattoo, and you, I know you. And so I'm standing there frozen, and I'm trying to collect my words, and she's like, I don't understand. What do I have to do to get back there? Mm-hmm. And you know that moment when your mind just kind of freezes and you blank, and all I could say was, I would have to fingerprint you first. That's all I could say. And this deacon's wife is looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Where is your tact, you know? And so it's humorous, but all day long I kept thinking, why is she here? Is she here to cause problems? Is she wanting to make money off of our church? And some, I mean, we loved on that baby and we took care of it, and I was praying maybe she'd get saved and this was really the Lord at work in her life. I have no idea. But at that moment I kept thinking, everybody watch your P's and Q's, because I don't trust this lady. I don't know what she's trying to do. So you don't know. We take babies and we don't. It's not our job to wonder what people's motives are, but we do need to have our bases covered, and if you can have cameras, that's a small, humorous little light note in the background. And on that thought, background check every single worker, every single one. Mrs. Allen and I just got our background checks updated as well. You want to keep those fresh. It's nice if you can get a system where they update you. Like sometimes at a sheriff's office, if you do it through the get them live scan, they will update you if someone gets like a DUI or whatever. And maybe you'd have it set up so the pastor finds out and not everybody. But just an updated system is awesome. Our church goes through, let me see here, First Advantage, which is a sub company of Group and Corporate. And how that works is there's different levels. If something flags, then the background check goes farther and it costs a little bit more and so forth. And it's not free, but there's no price on keeping our babies safe. So that's something important to do. Study your state's current daycare laws. And we want to strive to obey them. We're not required to, but we want to strive to. And here's why. We are required to when we charge. So those little times when you have little things like small events or whatever, you have to be careful when you go from nursery to, oh, we have this dinner and, you know, we'll all pitch in and pay for it. You have to be careful about crossing those lines. If you just always keep your standards high and obey the laws as if you were a daycare, then you don't have any trouble. And a way that you can keep up with those, none of you, I think, are from California, save just a handful of you. But here's a website, and you might be able to find your state the same way. I think it's in your notes, actually. Yes. It's dss.cahwnet.gov. And if you find your website, then there's a link usually to put in where they can email you. And whenever the laws change, they tell you. And so you don't have to constantly be keeping up on it. They will let you know when the laws change. Another thing that's good to be up on is the OSHA workers requirement. As you have workers in your nursery, you want to know what's required of you to take good care of your workers. OSHA has specific requirements. And most of them, again, are not like enforced for nursery because it's volunteer. But it's good to be aware of them. And, of course, getting on CLA's emailing list, or you can get their prayer page mailed to you. They just, I don't know, is anybody here from Pennsylvania? Maybe? I didn't hear anybody. Okay. They just changed Pennsylvania's laws where it's mandatory to be background checked. Now, by law, if you don't, you're in trouble. So, and that's a good law. So, and then E is make sure that you have a clear checkup or checkout process where it ensures that the person that's picking up the children is the person who's supposed to pick up the children. And there's lots of ways to do that. If you just brainstorm, what works best for your ministry is what you'll use. Maybe get your key ladies together, throw out a few options. Our church has done a handful of things, and I think I'll talk about that later. But you could think through your process, and there's always room for improvement if you think through, but you just want to make sure whatever it is, that there's something they give you to pick up the child that way. Not anybody could just pick them up. What if the mom, this used to happen to me because we had so much family in our church. Family would pick up one of my kids, and I would feel like, I have to go, and now I have to search the campus for them. And so we just worked it out where they had to have something. So then, yeah, sure, Nana or Aunt Susie or whatever can pick up, but just have the slip. That helps. Just a simple thought there. Let me just tell you this. What we have currently right now, and this is a very sophisticated system. Some of you might have a more sophisticated, but to me it is. Once a family is registered, they would put their finger on a scanner, and it doesn't scan their fingerprint. It scans actually the blood vessels, because your fingerprint can change, but your vessels don't. Isn't that interesting? And so it scans their finger, and it brings up their family. And so, you know, I would have 4 children I can check in, and then friends that have allowed me to check or check out their children are also listed. And so there's the list, and I just check the ones I'm checking in. And when it prints their checkout and check-in slip. And this is through ARENA is what we have right now. And so the check-in slip has the child's face, and it has, does it have their name? I'm pretty sure the new ones has their name. But that's for the teachers, so that you give them the check-in slip, and now their teacher has a label. But then you keep the checkout slip. And what's neat about them is they both have a code. The checkout slip does not have a name. So if I drop it, they can't go to the nursery and say, I want Joseph Roll or whatever. There's no name. There's a code. And so they have to provide it with the child's name, and if they don't know the name, they can't really get the child. But the code matches the check-in slip. So there's, and every service, it's a different code, so it's kind of a faultless program, as long as it's working. So that's why during leadership, we didn't enroll all of you into it, because it takes a little bit of time to get the process going. But for years, we just did paper write out that. That's just as easy. That's what we're doing for you guys this week. So there's lots of options out there, but you just want to be thinking through and make sure you're doing what works. So that's all of that's just safety. And that's the safety part. Let's get into some more caring and fun parts. Let's talk about parent interaction. I love this about Lancaster Baptist Church. They're so careful about who your front line is. The first person you come in to greet you is going to be a carefully chosen person, and we look for someone who's cheerful and encouraging. And that's what you want for your nursery counter, someone who's cheerful and encouraging. You want to keep in mind that these parents are at a life stage that is more emotionally and physically draining than just about any other life stage. And whether they're a brand new Christian just barely rolling into church, or maybe the pastor's wife or a staff wife or a deacon's wife that always is in their place, they're wore out and tired and just barely came in too. And so we want to be uplifting. We want to be a bright spot in their life. So we want to carefully choose that. And we want to consider the possibilities of what does our nursery seem like to an outsider. You might consider having a friend or a family member that's never visited. This is two. That's never visited your church. Maybe have them come and visit it just to see what your ministry is like and to answer questions honestly for you. Some questions you might have them answer would be, I don't know if your note says, a purpose of getting very honest feedback, in case that's one of your blanks. Was the nursery easy to find? And on some campuses, it's the first thing. And some, it's a roundabout hallway to this one spot and then through that. And was it easy for them to find? And if it wasn't easy to find, did someone show them or did they feel lost? B, would it be easily accessible for a single parent with multiple children? And that's not something you can fix right away, but you want to be thinking of how you can encourage those that are in that situation if it's a difficult task. Our church, by far right now, would say this is our downfall. That's why we're so excited about the Wather Center, because that means a remodel of the North Auditorium is coming, and we're so thankful for that. C, was the registration process well-organized and simple? And this is the tricky one, because I love our registration process. I mean, I just told it to you. It's such a wow. Isn't that amazing? But it sometimes takes a little while to get a first-timer registered, and we're trying to iron out the kinks. So you want to be thinking through your process as well. Are the facilities pleasing to the eye? Sometimes we get used to something, whether it's the one cupboard we have that's cluttered. We see it all the time, so we don't even notice it. But the visitor walks up and thinks, what is all that, you know, junk, really? What is going on there? Is this a clean place? Or maybe just dust on things that we get used to. It can be washed or whatever. E, did the parents get an overall feeling of complete confidence in our nursery? Did they walk away feeling confident? Okay, they can take care of my child. There's so much there. You want a parent that comes for the first time to feel a little bit of a connection with you, to feel trusting, like, okay, I can give you my child, to feel like you care about their interests. That's so important. And then you want a mom who's been there forever to feel like she matters too, and that you're not like, okay, I know your child better than you know it. I've got this, you know. They want to be able to say, no, today I really wanted to tell you about her toothache, you know, or whatever little thing. It matters to mom, and we want them to know we do care. So that's just a side note. I think we're on number three. Mm-hmm. Often reassess your registration process again to ensure that you are efficient. A, get a family's address and contact information for follow-up. And it seems like a little thing because it's a baby in your mind. But I wanted to tell you this little story I came across. There's a lady, Mrs. Christie, who works in our nurseries, and she's a wonderful lady. But she was telling this story about when she first visited Lancaster Baptist. I don't want to get it wrong. It was like either big day, but I think it was Easter Sunday. She came to visit, and she had a preschool-age daughter, and her daughter went to class, and then that week they got a visit, and they weren't even home, but this godly lady who taught the preschool-age class went and visited the preschool-age child, which is nothing new except for that she wasn't sharing the gospel with the child. The child was very little. She was just doing her job to show that she cared, but she left a gospel track because they weren't home, and on it she just wrote a little note, I'm sorry I missed you, you know, the teacher from her class. So the mom is the one who got it, and she kept reading it. She put it on her nightstand and read it every day and thought, I don't get this. I really don't understand this, but there's something to it. So she couldn't bring herself to throw it away, but she didn't understand it. And she said it prepared her heart because I think it was about a week gap. Brother Firsta went by and was able to lead her and her husband to Christ. And I think it's so neat that started. God prepared her heart through just the visit of a teacher who just cared. And here's the best part to me. Is Mrs. Christie now has been serving in the nursery ministry for years and years, and her daughter, who was that little girl, is going to Bible college in the fall. And that's precious to me that some teacher, and that lady who went to visit was my son's five-year-old teacher last Sunday. And it's just neat to see the Lord at work in lives. But a visit can be a powerful tool, and we don't always realize nursery ages, how powerful it can be to make a parent feel confident or to want to come back or prepare their heart for salvation. It's a powerful tool. So getting their information, my husband always says, why would God send another visitor back if we don't if we don't take care of the ones that come. If we have a visitor that comes and we just say, hey, I hope you come back next week, and totally forget about them, do we deserve for them to come back a second time? And that's just something to pose and think about. That's so convicting to my heart. Okay, number four. We want to treat each parent like they are a valued customer that you want back. Now, please don't misunderstand me. They're a soul that matters for eternity, and I understand the spiritual side of that. But when a parent comes to that counter, it's very easy for us to... I think we all are sensitive to visitors and want to please them and want to make sure. But there's parents that have come for years that we don't know what's going on in their hearts. And if we're a little bit, like, they give us a suggestion or something that's on their heart, and we don't treat them like somebody we're trying to earn trust still, and we love them and want to please them and meet their needs, we could deeply hurt them. And it happens all the time, and people don't realize it. And so we want to make sure we're treating every person, whether a brand new visitor or someone who's been here for quite a while, like they're somebody we want them to come back. We don't want to get the mentality, I'm doing you a favor again by watching your child. I do this every week. You are indebted to me for life. You know, we don't want to have that mentality. Instead, we want to have the mentality of, thank you for bringing your child back to me again. I can't wait to have him. You know, we want to have the spirit of keep coming back. We love it. And it sounds funny, but you and I have all been there where we're like, this child again, my goodness, does his mom know? You know, we have to tell her. Not really, but we think sometimes kids can be a lot of work, and we just have to keep our mind acting like it's a blessing, because it is a blessing to watch their child. Okay, A underneath that is give genuine compliments and praise. Whenever you can, do it. Give praise, because there's going to be a time you're going to have to say something maybe negative, whether it's whatever it is, something's going to come up. So as many times as you can fill that bank up with positive words, do it. B, look the parents in the eye, as well as make eye contact with the child. You're building relationships, and it's with the parents first, but it's with the child too. Listen well to instructions and respond to all of their special requests with a supportive spirit. And you will get some type of request that just doesn't make sense to you. And the truth of the matter is, the mom is the boss. So whatever she gives you, don't look at her like, really? Well, I've never done that before, but okay. You know, we don't want that spirit. We want to say, really? That's fantastic. Okay, let me write that down, because I don't want to forget that. That's great. You know, be supportive. That mom has a reason for it. And, you know, God in all his love and wisdom gave that child to that mommy for whatever reason. I think it was Mrs. Fisher that was telling me that there's such a, we have a tendency to see things that are our pet peeve. Like, this should not be taking place in this child, whether it's obedience issues or fit throwing or developmental, like, why is that child still having a bottle and a pacifier at this age, or thumb sucking will ruin their teeth, or, you know, whatever it is that bothers you. I'm not saying any of those bother me. I'm just saying whatever it is, sometimes we think it's our job to lovingly tell these mothers, but really that child's not going to go to college with that problem. At some point in time, it's going to get corrected. So really our job is just to love and encourage them and watch them. If it's harmful, definitely we want to say something. But other than that, there's really no reason for us to give our opinion about it. God gave that child to that parent. Okay, so really the key to that particular section is the leadership you have in your nurseries doing it, because you can't be there all the time. And it's a spirit that sometimes is contagious. You spend time with somebody long enough. I guarantee you, if you ever do nursery with Miss Sarah or Mrs. Allen, you will catch this happy spirit of, this is great. And that's just how they are in nursery. And that it is contagious. But the ladies that oversee that area or overseeing that counter at that moment, if they can catch the vision of how important this philosophy is, then you'll be fine. And that's the key. Okay, let's move to the next section. And that's quality care for the children. That's the child's experience in the nursery. This is so interesting. When I was researching, I kept coming across this. This just is almost unbelievable to me. But a lot of churches now are going to hiring out their nurseries. And so they outsource it, just like they would hire a janitorial crew or a lawn crew. They have a nursery crew that they hire to come and do their nursery. Now, that would not be our church, but I laugh because, I mean, that must cost a lot of money. What's sad to me about that is what I'm about to cover here, is that it's nursery should never just be babysitting. It should never just be about babysitting. And so that's just interesting, and I'm not making fun of the churches that do it. I'm just saying that burdened my heart, because there's so much more to being a nursery than just that. Church nursery is much more than just babysitting. It is teaching and relationship building. A nursery caregiver or nursery worker that is aware of this will never pass a child outside of their nursery without saying hello. That person matters. That's their child. Number two, determine and set goals for what concepts will be taught to each age group. And I have just seen over the last decade, I don't have a ton of experience, but at least over the last decade, a huge decline in what's expected at what age. If you go to the doctor, they'll give you this list of what your kids are capable of. And some of it's really interesting because it kind of pushes us forward to, you know, push our children to do more things or to understand and assess what they should be doing. But their listening skills are much more ready than we think they are. Sometimes we try it once and we think, okay, they are not ready. But if we do it for a little while, it will develop their listening skills. And at all places, church should be a place that they're growing and learning and capable of listening. And I'm not talking like a half hour session. I'm just saying they can learn, and we want to make sure that they are. Here's some things they can learn. At the youngest of age, they can learn to pray at church. They can pray. How simple is that? If I have you line up for snack time, we're all going to fold our hands, and we're going to thank Jesus for the food and pray for mom and dad and pastor and thank God for the Bible. Amen. And they can do that. And even before they're talking, they can be in a high chair going, no, 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 amen. You know, give me those food. You know, they're ready. That's something they can learn. They can pray. They can be excited when mom and dad come, and we can play along with that and help a bond there. We can give them a love for the Bible. What child that's speaking can't go Bible or Bible? Learn to hug the Bible. There's something that their parent can take the child home and say, oh, their teacher taught them to hug the Bible. That's cute. Okay, they can learn that this is the Bible. You could hold up a picture of the pastor. If you're from a large church, they may not interact a lot with the actual pastor. But you want to make sure they know who the pastor of their church is. So a picture would do. This is pastor. Let's pray for pastor and Mrs. Chapel. Just a simple little thought. Little ones, like 2 years old, even 18 months can handle a short lesson. And what's fun is just a thought to throw out there. Repetition's the key with them. So you could just have 12 lessons. Maybe you pick Noah's Ark. So Noah's Ark is what you teach in the month of January. And so all four Sundays you're going to teach about Noah's Ark. And it's just going to be, and when the first week it might be, and Noah obeyed. Everybody say Noah obeyed. And they just get the concept that Noah obeyed. And then they get the concept Noah's family followed Noah. You know, that's a whole other concept, but it's the same story. Or maybe it's, and the animals, God talk to the animals and they obey all of the animals. And you could teach a whole nother concept off the same lesson. So for 4 weeks, they hear the same story, and it takes 3 minutes, but they're getting a lesson from God's word. Just a simple thought there. Jericho with blocks. That's another really fun one. Or Samuel cleaning. Samuel worked in the house of God. There's so many fun lessons that you can do. My favorite to tell kids is about Elisha, about the axe that fell into the water. Have you ever lost something? And every child is like, yes, I can't find my shoes right now. You know, just they prayed and then they found it and it floated and God cares about your missing thing. You know, there's a story for every problem a child faces. Moving on. Number three, play and interact with the children. Play and interact with the children. It's fun to visit with people, but you want to make sure you're focusing on the children, too, that at some point you're connecting. It's always my personal goal that each child gets a connection from me when I'm in nursery. I want each child to either be held by me or talked to, and at least eye contact in some little conversation, but that's my goal. Number four, enter each nursery shift with the goal of making church each child's favorite place to be. You just want to be fun for them. There's times we have to get onto them or correct them, or if they're little, you know, like 12 months or 18 months, they're just getting into stuff. And there may be times, no, no, don't do that or whatever. But we want it to be fun. When they see us, to be happy they see us. So that covers safety. That covers our parents. And that covers our child. Now, I will be honest with you. When I started overseeing nursery, I didn't have children. It's a funny story. The lady who had done it for years was resigning, and she brought me all the nursery stuff and said, I thought you would be overseeing nursery. And I was like, I've been married for a year and I don't have any children and I'm not anytime soon. And I just thought, I don't even know how to put formula in a bottle. What are you talking about? You know, I felt so helpless. And I laughed and said, I would never do nursery. You know, this is not my area. And the next day, my father-in-law called me and was like, Susanna, you're really, I feel of the Lord. This is your, you know, and you shouldn't say no. You should pray about this at least overnight. And I'm like, well, yes, sir, I should pray over this overnight. I'm like, I'm going to say no. This is not my area. So I came in as green as it could be, and I can remember my focus at first was I'm just not ever going to not have enough workers. We're going to have this thing organized. And the other big thing I had was there would be no, like, safety issues on my watch. You know, that nursery would be so safe. But then I started realizing the facilities need to be caught up, so then we had to fundraise a little bit to get a sink to be able to wash hands. And, I mean, we just built from one thing after another, to carpet, to taking a wall down to make a nursery bigger, or whatever. But then I became a mom, and it became all about, oh, did the kids get their needs met and did they have fun, and my heart changed about it. And now I would look back and say, yes, I'm so glad we focused on the facilities. I'm so glad we focused on the kids and the parents. But there's a whole other side to this that I think Mrs. Allen has the vision of really running with, and Mrs. Hannah and others too, and that is the workers, your caregivers that are in there, and just the potential there is there. We call them caregivers, but they're nursery workers. Number one, cast the vision for service leaders to recognize the discipleship and mentorship process that needs to be taking place in the nurseries. It really needs to be taking place in nursery. I used to feel so guilty pulling a younger Christian out of church service to be a nursery. I thought they need the preaching more than ever. You know, this is important. But my husband said, honey, the Bible says let the elder ladies teach the younger women. Yes, this is a wonderful opportunity for learning. And the more I thought on that, I learned so much of my training of toddlers from a godly toddler teacher that I watched her teach all the toddlers in such a happy, joyful spirit. I learned so much of that from her. There's a huge learning that should take place. This would be a good time if you wanted to pull out your handbook, if you don't mind, just to give you a run of what we've kind of established. We recently had a luncheon for our ladies, and we handed out this handbook when we shifted our system a little bit. And on the first page, it shows our flow chart of how the leadership works. Obviously, it's Pastor Chapel. And then underneath Pastor Chapel, he has asked my husband to oversee the educational side of things, like on a Sunday, so forth. And he has helpers. Caleb Finley's been amazing. Kaylin first, so I hope you get to meet her. She's amazing, too. And then underneath it, they've broken down the ages of our children into nursery and then preschool and then elementary. And you have met the nursery director and you've met the nursery scheduler. And so this is how we've done that. And then they wanted you to have their information. If you have a question and you know what category it would fall under, you're welcome to email or call these people. They have a servant's heart and would love to answer your questions if they can. This is at the very bottom. This is one of my favorite changes. And Sarah's smiling because she's got it in hand right now. But we have a cell phone that's just nursery cell phone. So when problems arise, they call that number. What's nice about that is if we ever let her take a vacation and she ever gets to go enjoy her family, and you're feeling like, who do I call then? I don't even know who to call. It's the same number no matter, because when she's gone, someone else will have the phone. And when they're gone, someone who's capable can answer your questions at any time, which I love that. It could be email if that's what you chose, but that works well for us. And then we're just to look at our schedulers, or the way we work our schedule. This is a quick overview. We have 8 nurseries in the English-speaking church. And so what we have done is there's someone responsible for each nursery. And we would call that person a nursery leader. And that's the names of these ladies. And they just check on that nursery every service. They work once a week, and they kind of pick their service that's best for them. But they oversee the nursery. And they are the ones that would be there at the start of a service helping check in. Often they come back at the checkout of the service just to make sure everything's okay. And what we've done with this is we went to a system that was kind of sophisticated with electronically emailing people and letting them know and scheduling, and we'd plug in the names and then they would get the updates and all of that, and it was all electronic. And we found a much more a consistent response through having someone connect. In other words, Sarah's my friend. If Sarah and I serve a nursery every week and I'm just, if there's nothing, she would think nothing of me texting her, hey, are you going to be a nursery on Sunday morning? You doing okay? I know your daughter was sick. She would think nothing of that. But if she gets an email, after a while you get to deleting it and don't pay attention. But if you get a personal touch, it's a relational thing. And so these ladies help with that. And then underneath them, if you flip the page, in their nursery, there is a lady that oversees that shift, that hour. And that would be the nursery coordinator. Am I thinking right? The service coordinator, did I say that correctly? Service coordinator. And that's the lady in bold. And she's actually the one that would text her group the night before or the day before and just make sure they're all on. And we've tried really hard, I say we lightly, they have tried really hard to schedule enough workers each shift so that if one person's sick or out of town, there's still plenty of workers. But if they're down 2, then if it's an up day, we would need to move someone else in there. And so we've created a list. If you turn the page again, there's all these workers that are, whether they're summer rotation or they're a biweekly or a once a month or a special service of, and this looks like we have all the workers in the world, but I promise you, there's a lot of children to watch. they have their go-to list of ladies that would jump in at a moment's notice and help. And so they just start working that list when they need to. And so that's the way we've structured our nursery. What I love about this is it's the same face, that the kids see the same people. Why not? Our adult Bible classes that way. I teach a second grade girls class. It's the same teacher every week at that shift. The babies get it too. And that's babies connect and bond at an incredible level. So it's nice that they're getting the same people every week, and I love that. And I just wanted to throw that in there just to be a help. And there's other things that I think might be, I would have loved to have had this years ago, Mrs. Allen, when I was trying to come up with stuff, but it has in here the responsibilities of the leader and the coordinator and just what we need from them when they commit to it. This is what they're committing to, along with the standards or expectations. And it's just helpful to them, if nothing else. And then there's also in the back our policies and procedures about, you know, how to fill out forms of, let me see here. It's the very back. There's not a page number, I'm sorry, but it's children's policies and procedures, and it talks about what's okay and what's not okay and what we're mandatory reporters and what we need to be watching for and that sort of thing. And so if this is a help to you, I hope that's a blessing. That's what we gave to all of our nursery workers. But for you, number two would be setting up your own your schedule to accommodate nursery caregivers with various levels of time commitment. It's not wrong if some are more involved in other ministries and don't have time, but maybe they can serve, you know, at a much less frequent than they can't do once a week, but they could do special services or they could be on call if you needed them from time to time. Number three, provide nursery hotline, which we just talked about, and I just love that feature. It's tremendous. Number four, equip workers with needed supplies and equipment. And again, this can be tricky if you're on a real tight budget, but even that can be a rotation if you needed it to. If there's four workers in a nursery and once a month someone brings in a box of crackers or something like that, that can be done. And we don't want to tax the workers too much, I understand, but I'm just saying we want to make sure they don't get in there and need something they don't have as well. It's just simple to put out, either to check it yourself every week or to put a list where they, just like you have a grocery list on your fridge, where they can just check off the different items you're getting low on, batteries for the swing or whatever they might be running low on. Equip workers with the adequate training. And we talked about that. At this session, I loved the idea. Years ago, I did 2 years in a row nursery sessions, and I felt like I had a hard time getting them to come back. It was another Saturday, another time away from their family. But we did ours on a Sunday afternoon, and we provided a meal for the husband as well as the wife to thank the husbands for letting the wife miss so many services. And it was a huge success, huge success. They gifted everyone with Starbucks cards, $5 Starbucks cards. It was just a nice way to say thank you. So that was just one way to make sure by law that they are aware, that by law they have to be a mandatory reporter and explain what that means and what they're looking for. We're not out to be suspicious of every parent, but if you see something that there's a red flag, whether it's a terribly sunburned infant, it could be that, or bruises that just are really abnormal, just to watch for it and to report it. You want to make sure that you at least let your service director, your nursery director know, and then go from there. And if it's a suspicious one, it has to be reported to the law. And I have this list of things I'm going to run through. These are things you might want to think through and decide how you want them handled and train your ladies. How and when to fill accident reports out. Proper conversations in the nursery. Teenagers don't need to be learning things about life. Problems and problem children and their parents. How to help younger girls and their nursery skills. What time to be in nursery and why. Good excuses and bad excuses for being in nursery. Modesty while working with children. What to do when a child gets sick or has an accident. Why parents aren't allowed inside the nursery if they're not on the schedule. And what do you think, how do you know if a child is too sick for nursery? And what to say when a parent asks how their children behaved. And what age can a child or a teenager start helping in nursery? And if a child gets hurt and no one saw it, what should you be looking for? These are all things Mrs. Allen wrote out, this whole list of things. She's just working on training our workers. It's fantastic. I'm going to finish quickly. Number six, make sure that your caregivers feel that their voice is heard. And this is something a younger one like me, when I first started, might felt threatened. I just felt so insecure. I knew I didn't know what I was doing. So when all the moms came to me with their ideas, I just was like, what am I doing? But honestly, their voice needs to be heard if they're going to keep coming and helping and serving. They want to feel like they're a part of it, and they have good suggestions, and they don't feel threatened by that. Number seven, keep serving fresh and fun. Some ideas for changing things up. We overhauled our whole schedule by putting the same workers in every week, but in 3 years, we might change it back. I don't know. Just keeping things fresh and fun helps things. Decorations or doing appreciation luncheons, thank you gifts, and so on. I'm going to end and let you go. I'm sorry that there was a lot to cover, and I apologize for the time. Now, I want to end with this thought. I walked in one day, a mom of four, and I had all these responsibilities in my mind. You have all been there. And I walked into nursery. It wasn't my time to serve. I needed to go sing. Church was about to start. And I walked into the nursery, and not one worker showed up, not one. And all the ladies just saw me come in, and they left. And I was like, okay, wait, can you just stay for just a minute? I have to go. And I texted my go-to people, and I went and found some, and everybody was telling me no. And the last lady looked at me and said, you know, I just really need the preaching today. And I said, oh, okay, you know, and I walked away going, I literally was angry in my heart. I was angry in my heart. And I thought, I remember saying, Lord, these are not all my babies. These are your babies. And I need your help finding workers for them. And as soon as I prayed it, the Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things, but one thing is needful. And I know you need to go, but quickly, I just want to remind you to have a balanced view. Our goal is to hear the preaching of the Word of God while serving is so important. And I would never undermine it to your workers because I know you need them. Being at the foot of Jesus is so much more important. That's why we have nursery, is so people can do that. And we want to make sure we're getting a turn in church, that we are faithfully hearing God's word, but then that we let other moms do it. And we never judge when a mom says they need to be there. We don't know why they said it or what's going on in their heart. We want to help them. We want to keep our thoughts right about those things without judging where other people are at. We want to keep our outlook positive. We aren't martyrs like Martha was. Lord, don't you care? Mm-hmm. Of course he cares. We can get discouraged, but we can't second guess that God cares. We just need to trust that he's going to help and follow through. And the last thought is that when we feel like there's so much going on, we need to remember that one thing is needful, and that is spending time with the Lord and watching those babies so others can go spend time with the Lord. That has to stay our focus. And we're closed. I'll let you go. I'll just let you go because I know you have about 15 minutes to get to the next session. Thank you, ladies, so much.